You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We have talked about California's projected budget shortfall, but the governor's office is painting a rosier picture when it comes to deficits. Last month, the Legislative Analyst's Office projected a $68 billion shortfall. But yesterday, Governor Newsom announced, according to his own financial analysts, that the budget hole is closer to $38 billion, which is nearly half. So how did we get such a big difference just 5 weeks apart? Regardless, when it comes to spending, cuts, scaling back, tightening, shuffling, whatever you want to call it, it needs to happen before the fiscal year starts on July 1st. In a few moments, we're going to hear from economist Wayne Weingarten. But first, CAP Radio state politics reporter Nicole Nixon was at the press briefing about the new budget shortfall and joins us with more about how the state is going to close the gap. Hey, Nicole.
Hello.
So before we dive into this $30 billion discrepancy between two financial departments, it is important to know that there are two fiscal arms within the state. There's the Department of Finance, which is under the governor's office, and then the LAO's office, Legislative Analyst Office, which is part of the state legislature. So how are these two different?
Well, the Legislative Analyst's Office advises the legislature. They're nonpartisan. They collect a lot of data and give policy recommendations and fiscal recommendations. They are where that $68 billion deficit number came from. And the Department of Finance is part of the administration. And, you know, they advise the governor. The difference between these two numbers comes down to a few things. And it's like they can use the same data and they use different formulas to arrive at these numbers. And one example is the LAO suggested that one thing the legislature and the governor might do to fill this giant $68 billion deficit, as they projected, is to go back to last year's budget, reopen the books, because those revenues came in so much lower than they were projected. It affected, you know, what the state actually has to work with. So they could go back and they could correct sort of the school funding. And that would affect the minimum requirement for school funding this year. And that's about an $8 billion difference. So the LAO, that's a policy decision. That is something that the legislature would have to do. So the LAO did not account for that. They said, here's something you might do. Now, Newsom's Department of Finance assumed, yes, we're going to do that. So that's one of the differences here. And there are a few of those different things. The Department of Finance also had a bit more optimistic picture of an estimate of revenues that will continue to come in. The LAO, again, put this report out in December. I don't think they included the December revenues that came in, and the Department of Finance did. So there are a few things to account for these sort of different numbers.
And we have to take into account and just remind people that this was an unprecedented situation because of winter storms early last year. It delayed the tax filing for a majority of counties
right.
in California.
I mean, the storms from 1 year ago, you know, the very beginning of 2023, are having this impact still on the state's ability to forecast its own budget because the tax day was delayed from April to October and then delayed again from October to November. So it really screwed with the state's ability to count what's in its own bank accounts. Mm.
Within the past few years, I mean, we have gone from large, even record surpluses to budget shortfalls in the tens of billions, and that's where we're at now. These are just dramatic pendulum swings. And Governor Newsom yesterday, just right off the bat, said something to the effect of, like, this is a story of correction, story of normalization, you know, after unprecedented disruption, something like that. What did he mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hallmark of California's tax revenue system is volatility. And because the state relies so heavily on higher earners, we have a progressive tax system, as it's called. That means if you earn less, you're taxed at a lower rate. If you earn more, you're taxed at a higher rate, up to like 13% of your income is taxed if you earn over a certain amount. Because of that, the top 1% of earners contribute much, much more to the state's coffers. So a few years ago, the top 1% of earners in California were contributing 50% of the entire general fund income tax revenue of the state. So when those earners have a down year, when they have a good year, that number gets really, really high. And that is why we had such big surpluses, $70 billion in 2021, $100 billion in 22.
And there was also one-time funding from COVID, right?
Exactly.
From the federal government.
Yeah. And you know, when they do well, the state does well. When they don't do as well, the state does not do as well. So, yeah, as you said, here's Newsom. We can listen to him describe this as a normalization.
This is a story of correction and normalcy, and one that we, in some respects, anticipated, the acuity, perhaps not, and one we're certainly prepared to work through.
And he's just, you know, pointing out the fact that on the one hand, this has happened. I mean, this happened after the dot-com bust. This happened after the Great Recession. And on the other hand, we weren't quite sure how bad it was going to be because the tax filing date was moved so late last year.
Well, regardless, the reality is there's tens of billion dollars. There's a shortfall. So, you know, changes have to be made. Revisions have to be made. He also led with, like, keeping promises to core issues from homelessness, public safety, public education, climate, infrastructure. How is all this possible?
Well, thankfully, the state has a rainy day fund to dip into to help keep some of these programs funded. So there's $20-something billion in that rainy day fund. Newsom wants to draw down about half of that. So $13 billion in budget reserves that can fill about a third of this budget deficit. Like he said, that, you know, he's going to prioritize things like homelessness, public safety, education, and promises that he's made to keep those things going.
When it comes to the rainy day fund, I remember this going back to, like, Governor Brown, when I'd go to his, you know, presentations for the budget and, like, the piggy bank, you know, diagram that he would show. Is it significant that Newsom is pulling from the rainy day fund?
I think so, because, you know, on the one hand, they were having a conversation last year. There was a $32 billion deficit about whether to break into that rainy day fund that grew basically from zero in 2020 up to 20. I'm forgetting the exact number, $28 billion or something in there like that in there now. So last year, he resisted dipping into the rainy day fund, even though there was a deficit. He said, I don't want to do this unless we enter a recession. Neither the LAO nor the Department of Finance is projecting that we are in a recession now or that we will enter into one this year. So the fact that he is saying, yes, now let's do this, let's pull from the rainy day fund, I think is significant.
When it comes to cuts that are actually going to take place, I mean, who are the biggest losers so far? I mean, and the response from them?
Yeah, cuts under Newsom's budget proposal include some climate programs, climate equity programs that deal with, like, decarbonization, extreme heat in under-resourced neighborhoods would get cuts. Also, subsidies for clean air programs and residential solar. Advocates are not happy about this, as you can imagine. But on the other hand, the governor is saying we're doing more on climate than any other state. So I think both of those things can be true, that Newsom is saying we're doing a lot. We're getting help from the federal government even on climate programs. But advocates say, with the state of climate change in the world, especially as California builds itself as a leader, we should be doing more.
Arguably, the biggest issue in our state is homelessness, and there has been a record amount of spending. Will there be any cuts to that? Or, I mean, how is he going to still work on solving this crisis, reducing it at least, you know, during a deficit?
Yeah, I think some of that remains to be seen. He is preserving $1 billion in flexible grants for cities and counties to address homelessness. Those are called HAP grants, and those were promised last year. I think they're in a process where cities and counties can apply for those now, but those will be preserved. There were a few housing programs that looked to be getting cuts, and that's led to kind of a mixed response from local governments on this budget, because on the one hand, there's these housing or homelessness grants that they really appreciate, but housing programs also may be on the chopping block.
Also, his tone really struck me. I watched the press conference. I mean, he just made it clear he wasn't happy with how the budget deficit in December was initially covered, as well as other reporting from national outlets, particularly the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. I mean, given that you were there in person, how would you describe his demeanor?
I guess, fed up in some respects. A few different people described it as spicy to me. And like you said, there were these two issues. So the first was about the size of the budget deficit. Obviously, the LAO came out with this shocking $68 billion number last month, and that's the number that the public had, and that's the number that's been reported. Newsom has signaled that his intel is that the number is different, and we finally saw that number yesterday. So I think he really wanted to correct that the record and like put out what his Department of Finance is telling him, but he wasn't able to until this presentation. And then there's this issue with a wealth tax that really set him off. And let's back up here for some context. The legislature there was a bill in the legislature to impose a tax on the assets of Californians who are worth more than $50 million. That bill was introduced last year. It never got a hearing. There's a new speaker now, though, and I guess his policy is that bills get heard and they get public hearings. So he's pushing committee chairs to hold hearings for bills, even if they may not necessarily agree with them. And that's kind of a different leadership style of the assembly speaker, the prior one and the current one. So this wealth tax bill appeared on a legislative committee agenda this week, and that caused some headlines, including an editorial from The Wall Street Journal that Newsom did not like. He was maybe understandably annoyed that the editorial from The Wall Street Journal included a photo of him for that piece. And, you know, he's said for several years that he does not support broad tax increases, definitely not a wealth tax. So he was irked about that editorial going into the presentation. He talked for about an hour. He mentioned a couple times that he's not supporting a wealth tax. And then a reporter asked about it, and it kind of sent him. So let's listen.
I don't know how many times I have to. I'm just not going to say it again because I say it every single year. It's infuriating because I guess everybody needs the same story and needs to regurgitate the story. Maybe you guys have some advice for me. Honestly, so no is the answer.
He kind of sounded like a dad at his wit's end there, I think.
Yeah, he sounded irritated. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're diving into the revised budget projections for the upcoming fiscal year, which currently stands at a projected $38 billion budget shortfall. I now want to welcome Wayne Weingarten, who is a senior fellow in business and economics at the Pacific Research Institute, which works advanced free market solutions. Welcome, Wayne.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Welcome back. Well, it's well understood that California was anticipating a budget shortfall. This was even before the LAO's projection last month. Were you surprised that the governor's projections were far less than the legislative analyst's office?
I guess I was a little surprised. I think we did a really nice job in terms of describing what the discrepancy was. And it is important to know these are estimates. These aren't the actuals. We don't really know. So I think one thing we know for sure is both of these estimates are probably wrong. The deficit is somewhere around those. And the volatility of the tax revenues had made this difficult to forecast for this year. Having said that, when you look at the latest report from the controller in terms of how much cash has come in second half of the year, if you look at the withholdings, and the LAO had a publication out just a couple of days ago looking at income tax withholdings, those are still disappointing. And so I think, you know, we definitely need to keep our guard up because while the governor says we received more from kind of the last year, we're still seeing disappointments in kind of the current tax revenues. And so as we get through the budget process and we'll eventually get to the May revision, all of these are going to start kind of interacting with one another, and we'll see where they net out. I think the one thing we know for certain, though, is even if the governor was 100% correct on this $38 billion, that is a historically difficult, large deficit that we need to close. Hmm.
What was the big message you took away from the governor's solutions to close this projected gap?
Well, I mean, I guess to be optimistic, it's something I think that it's commendable for the governor is that he's not proposing tax increases. He's recognizing that, you know, this is on the expenditure side, and that's where we need to focus. A lot of the actually about two-thirds of his solutions, when you take away the reserves, which is proper use of the rainy day fund, about two-thirds of it are things like budget shifts, where they'll say, as opposed to accounting that spending this year, we're going to push it off to next year. There's, I think, a couple billion dollars, I think it's five, the University of California system and the Cal State, that they're not going to get it this year, although they can borrow against it, but that'll come next year. And so what I find disconcerting about, you know, if two-thirds of that part of the solution is pushing things off to next year, if you look at our budget history, these typically aren't 1 to 2 year events. And so if we have another budget problem next year, which I think is prudent to expect, then all of a sudden we've reduced our reserves by more than half. And now we've taken spending from this year and we've piled it onto next year, which means that next year we're going to have an even larger problem. So I think, you know, it's prudent to look more where can we create savings? Where can we find efficiencies? Where can we do better for less? And I think that's an important mantra that we need to actually put.
Nicole talked about the volatility in our state when it comes to the budget, and there are these dramatic budget pendulum swings, largely due to how the state generates revenue, depending heavily on the highest income Californians, the top 1%. Do you think there needs to be a reform so that the state has a more consistent, reliable budget outlook to be just more effective?
Absolutely. I mean, if you and this problem goes back to the 1970s. And if you look at it, it's just a typical pattern where you see during the good times, because of that, the progressive tax system, revenue surging. And as opposed to really looking at what's our affordable level of government, how much of that surge should we not be spending? And you know, we ramp up our spending to match that accelerated spending level. And then eventually when kind of the economy sputters, and history shows the economy will sputter, we have one of these crashes. And it happens again and again and again. And what you find is until we get that expenditure control back, until we see a bit of income growth because the economy recovers, and that typically happens somewhere around where tax revenues are about 7.5-8% of our income, then we can actually kind of, we get back on the roller coaster and the process continues. The problem is typically when you have some of the kind of unsustainable budgets, you're spending about 9% of personal income somewhere. Right now we're at 10, I think we fall down to about 9.8, 9.5%, but we're at a much kind of bigger peak than normal, which actually does kind of support where the LAO deficit position is. So we really are looking at a huge drop from kind of the tax revenue relative to income to where we need to get to. And that's really a prolonged crisis. There are lots of things we can be doing, thinking about how can we accelerate income growth to kind of cushion that fall. But without that, we are talking about some severe expenditure control for several budget cycles.
You mentioned that, you know, when it comes to these budget shortfalls, they usually aren't these isolated, you know, 1 year incidents or even 2 year incidents. The governor yesterday said that although the projections from the LAO and the Department of Finance were differed greatly, that both agencies did not see a recession looming. Would you agree with that?
You know, it's always easier to forecast the past than the future. But I'm a little more pessimistic about the economy. I think we'll see over the next several months whether that happens. Even if we have, if we avoid a recession, what we really need in terms of solving the budget problem here is a huge acceleration, an acceleration in capital gains. So the stock market's doing well, which means the economy is booming. So there's really two parts to that question. One, which is, are we going to avoid a recession or not? Which, you know, that the other thing is, are we going to have a huge boom? Mm. And so I think, yeah, even if we are forecasting that we're going to avoid a recession, if we're not going to have that accelerated growth, we're not going to see the revenue surge needed to kind of match where the expenditure levels currently are. And so that in itself is disconcerting.
Nicole, in the last 30 seconds that we have, I mean, this is just really obviously the beginning. There is a lot that can happen between now and the May revise. What are you looking for?
Well, the legislature's response to this, they will have some hearings over the next few months to dig into this. And then, of course, Newsom and legislative leaders are negotiating behind closed doors as well. I think it'll be interesting to see in May what the deficit number is at that point, because, then it's after tax day. They have a clearer picture of the state's actual revenues. So if it gets bigger, you know, what are they looking at?
Nicole and Wayne, thanks for the conversation.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Wayne Weingarten is a senior fellow in business and economics at the Pacific Research Institute, and Nicole Nixon is our state politics reporter. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.